I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Monday? Happy Monday. How about halfway through the month of April? Man, we're going to have a lot of fun today on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hope you guys are all having a great day, getting your week all started off right. We're starting off right in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, live on the Bama Central Facebook channel, on our social media machines at Joe Gaither 6, or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We appreciate everybody who is checking us out, subscribe, rating, reviewing the show on their favorite podcast platforms. We have a lot of fun today. I've got a million and one topics to get into. You guys know by now, every time we have Theo on Mondays, we go off the rails and go for a while. So we're going to have a lot of fun on Monday with Theo Fernandez. You follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez double underscore. We are going to talk about a lot of things today. We're going to talk about Alabama quarterbacks. We're going to talk about A-Day. We're going to talk about the Masters. We're going to talk about Nico Iamaleava. We're going to talk, what else is on this list, Theo? We're going to talk about Tyrion Reed. We're going to talk about Sammy Sosa. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And of course, you can jump in on the comments at JoeGaither6. If you were at 8A, you can call, leave us a voicemail. I mean, you can leave us a voicemail if you weren't at 8A, 205-462-7340, extension 800. Leave us a voicemail what you saw at 8A. Or you can leave us a voicemail what you thought of Darian Reed going in the portal. If you want to leave us a voicemail on Nico Iamaleava, do you want to leave us a voicemail praising Josh Heupel? I know that would be a huge challenge for a lot of you, but I challenge you to do so. All right, so we got a lot of things to get into over the weekend. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Before we get into it, Theo Fernandez, good morning. How we doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's always a pleasure to get to come in on my Monday mornings and talk sports. And
are you lying? I mean, it's Monday morning at 8 a.m.
Yeah, but what else would I be? I mean,
all right, just checking. I'm leaving you the room to be honest here.
No, I mean, I've spent my whole weekend watching sports, and it certainly is always a special sports weekend, even though we don't have a full slate of spring games to react to, and we certainly don't have an Alabama spring game to react to, but it's still, you know, a lot happened, that's for sure.
All right, so I guess you'd lead us right there. We should start with the spring game. We're probably going to talk about the spring practice, the spring finale. That's what I would like to call it. That's what I was writing in my writing. Alabama's spring finale. It's not a scrimmage. I would poke a little bit of holes to say it was a traditional practice as well. So I don't think it was a scrimmage. You're going to get the inside the building talk that, yes, it was a traditional practice. I think we saw a lot of elements of a traditional practice. I'm not sure if the intensity was the same. I'm not sure if the urgency, sense of urgency was the same. And I'm not sure if it was a full practice, you know, where they showed off every period that they do in practice. I think they showed off a good bit of the periods that they do in practice. All right, so Theo, what did you think of the 3 hours that we were in Bryant-Denny Stadium?
Okay, so first of all, let me just say, I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to actually attend an Alabama spring game last year, because there was nobody there. I think we were under, what, 25,000 or something?
I was so wrong, Theo. Last week on the show, I got, I think about 35, 40, probably be about right, 1,000 people in Bryant Denny. I was, smash the button, Joe was wrong. I put in our group chat, if you said over 20,000, you're lying. Somebody said, oh, maybe it was 25, and so I admitted. If you said over 25,000, you're lying. Yeah. But if you had to say, Joe, gun to your head, what was the amount of people in Bryant Denny Stadium? I'm going to say 16,482.
I'll go maybe a little higher. I think that's a chance. Outside shot, they cleared 20K.
Cool. Keep going. I interjected.
Yeah, it was absolute. I'm just so glad that I got to actually witness a spring game. Got to see 70,000 people show up for an event in April, because I don't know if we'll ever get there again. Because quite frankly, that was not an ideal event to go watch as a fan. You know, first of all, I feel like you got to at least give the fans in attendance a roster to look at, because I would have been so confused watching up in the press box without a roster, right? Because there are so many people doing so much stuff, you know. You're trying to follow everything. You got guys in new numbers, and I was confused up in the press box. I remember they had all the QBs lined up, and we're trying to track who threw what, and just a chaotic event.
Don't look at me. Keep going, because I'm finding myself from jumping in and just exploding. Keep going. You're doing great.
Yeah, I mean, so we were all tracking QBs up there, me, Joe, Hunter. I was following Ty Simpson, so I'd spend my whole practice with my eyes on Ty Simpson.
And how easy was that?
It was, honest, it was something, because you got guys who, you know, you're running all sorts of routes. He was running all around the field, you know, be throwing to guys. And, you know, obviously with it being a practice, sometimes the guy just stops running because, you know, the play's over when they decide it's over. Sometimes he'll walk past all the defenders in the end zone, so you don't know what yardage to mark off or plays. And honestly, our jobs where we each followed one QB, we probably got more out of that practice than a lot of people, because we actually had something to keep us grounded as far as what to watch, because otherwise my eyes would have been floating everywhere. You know, it was just, it was a hard event to follow. And it's really, I think the, I'm a little surprised that fans enjoyed it as much as they did.
Oh, you think they enjoyed it? Are you seeing positive?
I'm seeing more positive than I thought.
Okay.
I'm certainly seeing a lot of negative, don't get me wrong, but just the fact that some fans, you have to be a true football nerd like we are here to enjoy what you saw.
Okay, can I go right here? Because that's what I started with a friend. Somebody asked, oh, Joe, how was it on Sunday? And I said, for me, who has been to many football practices and practiced in high school level and seen, you know, I have experience in football. I know what's going on, and to a degree. If I were a fan, I would really be upset. For the first thing that you said, first, the roster, not being able to know anything. Like, I have so many thoughts on Saturday. From the football perspective, from an Alabama, if I worked for Alabama football, if I were Joe's assistant coach, Joe's, you know, analyst, Joe's little low-schmo equipment manager, it went perfect. It went perfect because not a ton of people. Like, I don't know that they wanted a ton of people to show up first. I'm sorry. That's just a question that I have. Did you really want a lot of people to show up for this? Because the marketing was not very good. And we talked about that on Thursday, Friday, and said, okay, the marketing Friday, not really ever that great. And I agree with that. But the marketing was extra bad. And then you get into the fan. I'm Joe Schmo sitting on the 50-yard line just watching as a fan. I would have been confused. I would have been confused if I didn't have a base level of football knowledge. If I did, because of what you were saying, they opened up the practice and ran a team period right off the bat. And it's, we're going to give each of the three quarterbacks four snaps. basically to get, it is a warm-up. It's a, hey, let's all get our pads popping a little bit, you know, feel some contact, but it's not like full go. It's like 80, 90%. It was perfect. A perfect way to start the practice because really, really digestible for me at the 50-yard line, Joe Schmo fan up, you know, right now. You do that for, what, 5 minutes or so. We all have all our charts go bam, 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 four plays. Austin Mack over one. Austin Mack over one, then he scrambled out, and then was a handoff on the other one. You had Ty Simpson went 2 of 4 on the first little bit, right?
He did go 2 for 4. He had one very solid completion.
Yeah. And Keelan Russell threw an interception on the first play, on his first pass. So you have the team period, and we're all like, okay, this is going well. And then they break into Indy, which I'm expecting. Indy, you were all breaking into our own position groups, and all the running backs are going through the bags, and all the quarterbacks are throwing individual routes to the wide receivers. They're all running slant routes. They're all running go balls. They're all running whatever the route is for that rotation. And then same thing for the corners. They're all working through their back pedal drills. We're all doing this. All the defensive linemen are all smacking each other, the pads. You know, it's individual drills. Easy to digest, but very, very, very boring. Very boring. Which is fine. Again, think about it. If you are in the Alabama football facility, we are trying to get through this day without any drama. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get through this day while making all three quarterbacks look semi-good without any drama to where one quarterback went way off the rails crazy good or one went way off the rails crazy bad. I think there's some overreaction to Saturday. Austin Mack's inaccuracies, I think there was some overreaction. I think we're, you know, walk away from Saturday and probably think, okay, this is a microcosm of the 15 practices. The quarterback competition is still pretty close, and we'll talk about that here. But here in a little bit. I don't want to go into that quite right now. I'm getting into just the structure of the practice, the structure of the event. You go into Indy, great. And then from there, where we're at, Ben, I looked up on the clock. They must have done Indy for 3 periods.
Yeah.
Because
it started to fly.
They're in team period, the first period we just described. And then I look up and it's in period 9. And I'm like, we're allowed to be on the field at like period 17. It's a 19 period practice. Like, how much more of this are we going to do here, Theo? They split into one side of the field goes inside run, the other side of the field goes 7-on-7. And like, if you don't know what you're looking at, maybe you're wondering what the heck they're doing on this inside. Like, it's all linemen, offensive and defensive linemen, run fits, and like, it's fun. But the fact that everything was going so quick, to your point, Theo, you're having 7-on-7 on one side of the field. Two quarterbacks are over there. One quarterback's on inside run. As soon as the quarterback makes his pass, he runs down to go make his handoff at inside run. After he makes his handoff, he goes, gets in line for his next pass for 7-on-7. So the three quarterbacks are running and run a little circle, and like, that's fun and cool, but it just made things really difficult to keep up with. Am I going to watch the quarterbacks? Am I going to watch the running backs? Am I going to watch who am I going to watch? You had to really pick, and I think that we did it about as best as we could. You assigned to Simpson, me assigned to Mack, and Hunter DeCyber assigned to Russell. We let Katie and Mason kind of just watch what they can watch. I think from a football perspective, it went perfectly because the fans left confused. No one, like, you got, okay, some negative comments about Austin Mack, accuracy issues, excuse me, 2 interceptions. Okay, probably should have had a third, but you're going to get the overreaction. I just think it was vanilla enough for the football facility, for the inside the football facility, that it went exactly how they wanted it to go.
Well,
I got a different take. If you, I'll let you. But keep going, and I've got, there's more layers.
Okay, because I want to agree with what you're saying.
There's more layers, but I'm just talking. Yeah. It went exactly. If I am Kalen DeBoer's personal assistant, which I'm not, if I am in the building, we're all pulling tug of war the same way. I think they pulled a big old link, and it went the same way for the football team. You know, they got through the event. I didn't notice any injuries. I didn't notice anybody going down. They got through the event. All three quarterbacks had a little bit of a couple moments. All three quarterbacks had a little bit of, you could have been better on that play. Then basically all the skill positions had a, okay, that guy flashed. Oh, that guy flashed. Like, there's some flashes, but it was nothing. There was nothing to, like, there's no concrete to hold on to, in my opinion. There's nothing to, like, we're taking this away from this team right now.
Wait. With that being said, I think everyone is looking for some concrete because we're so used to having had a whole spring to overreact to stuff. And that's why you're seeing all this negative Auston Mack discourse. Yes. That's literally the only reason why, because he made a couple ill-fated throws in a practice, as every QB does, and now we're using that to say,
How many passes did you chart for Simpson?
I charted a lot. And I have the full number.
That's okay. No, I wrote it down. I wrote it down. I think you gave me 76, 78 passes.
That checks out.
Like, of course, a couple are going off the rails. I charted, he started Keelan at 67, 68 passes. I think I started Mac at 73, 74. So, like, you're going to have, not every pass is going to be perfect. Like, you're there to make mistakes. Practice is there to make mistakes.
If any of these guys didn't make mistakes on Saturday, we'd be having a whole other conversation. We'd be talking about, look at XQB, that is the clear front runner to be the starter now. This was bound to happen. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, the Auston Mack stuff is, we don't know anything about Auston Mack from Saturday, quite frankly. I have nothing that I think I could really take away, but this was bound to happen, and Alabama had to have known this was going to happen. Had to have known that some kind of overreaction was going to be.
Oh, sure, the overreaction is inevitable. But did we just go to the last spring finale? Did we just go to the last spring event? That because we were in Bryant Denny Stadium and see the 16,000 to 25,000. I'll give you a little bit of grace. 15,000 to 25,000, I think, is a good little number. Then I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. This is really bad. Then I go to social media and I see Oklahoma. Their spring attendance was horrific, probably worse than Alabama's. I did not see Auburn's. I saw Georgia's crowd was probably a little better than Alabama's, but still nothing to, like, beat our chest over, right? It's nothing to celebrate. Georgia's was definitely diminished from what spring games were in the past. And so the point is, you're seeing this all over the place. And we went into spring with Nebraska canceling their spring finale, Texas canceling their spring game, this, that, and the other. I posted the crowd, Theo. I posted the crowd saying it doesn't seem like the Alabama fans are excited about the spring finale, and got a lot of reaction. A lot of reaction was, of course we're not excited. It's a practice. And I thought to myself, Theo, like, isn't it always practice? Hasn't it always been a practice? No, it's only a scrimmage. It's been a game. It's like, I think you're not understanding what you're watching. It's always been a practice, but you've got the placebo effect of a scoreboard in a crimson white game. Like, it's still Alabama football against Alabama football. No one's winning, no one's losing. But it's just a practice. So I wonder, was the semantic of, hey, we're just doing a practice, was that enough to scare the fan base away?
I don't know, because you're fully right on it not being a game even beforehand. I mean, that was a practice, and the easiest way to get anyone to admit why is, I want the average Alabama fan, someone who was at the spring game last year, to name three specific things that happened in that game. I don't think you would have a memory of three specific plays. I mean, I'm sure you will, Joe, right?
No.
You won't even.
No.
I remember the Dre pick. I mean, that was a big thing from the game last year, right? But I don't remember three.
Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. got an interception.
He picked off a ball in the end zone.
I think I remember that. I think I do. But I cannot say that with certainty.
You know, like, you guys are acting like this was a game.
I remember Dylan Lonergan. Okay. Yes. Because I clipped all the quarterbacks. Yes. I clipped all the quarterbacks from that, and they all looked extremely mediocre.
Yeah.
extremely mediocre. And they ended up being extremely mediocre. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I thought this was, we like Alabama football. We don't care what form it is. We're going to go support the team. But when I'm sitting there at Walk of Champions and looking out, and there's like, ooh, there's like 100 people out here. And the weather was perfect. It wasn't like, oh, bad weather. Now, I got a lot of, well, Joe, they shouldn't have scheduled it during the same time of the Masters. And I thought, that's a, okay. I mean, that's an excuse, sure. But I don't think that's a, that's never been a valid excuse in years past. You got, oh, well, Joe, all kinds of things on campus. That is valid. You had Alabama, Oklahoma. You had Alabama, Mississippi State in baseball. I just, to me, I had some real worry this weekend, Theo. Is college football about to be, hey, oh, I had some real worry. Like, okay, we don't want to be hyperbolic, but I'm about to be. Have we reached the breaking point in college football where, oh, this fall you're about to see lesser crowds, diminished crowds, because the fan base just isn't as into it. Now, my friends are, who are not Alabama fans, are, well, Joe, you know, the soft Alabama fans were always going to leave the bandwagon when they stopped winning. Blah, 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 blah. They all jumped ship to the next big thing. Oh, well, they all jumped ship to Texas and Ohio State and Georgia. Blah. So, of course, they didn't show up. And I said, buddy, do you not know what happened in 2007 when Nick Saban had a spring game before winning a single game? Before winning a single game. Filled the stadium up to 100,000. Like, so there's clearly a difference there in the energy in the Alabama fan base, whether it's because he's putting on a practice or because of the way college football is. I don't know. There's a lot of thoughts I just threw at you, Theo. What do you want to digest and latch onto?
Well, first of all, let's just put, we shouldn't even have to say this. No baseball game, no softball game, no golf tournament can distract the Alabama football fan base from Alabama football.
Yes.
Come on. That it is an excuse in every
way. Foolish excuse.
This is Alabama football talking about. A chance to go watch football in Tuscaloosa. And looking at the way that the fan base fell flat, that so many fan bases fell flat. I don't doubt what you said, Joe. I genuinely think we're headed down, first of all, the road where spring football is probably going to be a thing of the past within the next decade. I came into the weekend with potentially a different point of view, where I was thinking, you know what? Eventually we're going to get like joint practices where you're playing, you know, having another school over for a game. And I thought we were going to have like a complex system and everything. And I don't know. Is the audience really not there? I'm still a little surprised, quite frankly, by the lack of turnout, but this might be the new reality that we're living in. It really might.
Well, I thought Saturday in the moment, oh, does Alabama have a problem? But then after perusing the internet, I was like, no, this is not an Alabama problem. This is a college football problem. And by golly, you get the reason thrust right into your face on Friday and Saturday. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, the spring portal, the portal is... The NIL and portal combination is destroying the sport. It's destroying the love of the sport. It's destroying it from the inside out. And like, yeah, Nico's on my list. And if you want to move into there, we can. But like, the fan base, like the spring portal, like praise the Lord, like praise the Lord. I'm being dead serious. Praise the Lord that Saturday happened and we got home and no Alabama player put their name in the portal. Praise the Lord that we got a quiet Sunday that no Alabama kid put their name in the portal. Now it's Monday. It's early.
There's plenty of time.
You're gonna and it opens tomorrow. I'll be shocked if you don't have a kid into the portal. You'd like to retain them all. That's the goal. But Why would I go to the spring game or the spring practice or the spring finale and fall in love with player 30, number 30, wearing number 35? Fall in love with player number 18, 16. I don't care. Pick any number. This is hypothetical. Oh, number 16 is cool. Who is that? Oh, that's Billy Johnston. Oh, Billy? Where's he from? Oh, he's from Anniston, Alabama. Oh, I know some people from Anniston. I'll ask him about Billy. Oh, Billy's great. Billy's... Blah, blah, blah. And now Billy, over the weekend, has become... I'm excited to watch Billy in 2025. 16, Billy Johnston from Anniston. We're pumped. That's going to be our guy. And then Billy goes in the portal this week and transfers to Western Tech Carolina U. Like, why would you get involved? Why would you invest yourself in that team, in that sport? I don't know why. I don't know why you would. But for my Bears, we stink. We're terrible. We've been terrible all my life. Three or four good years all in my life, but been terrible. You know why I can stay with some hope, stay with some loyalty, stay with some care? Because I know who's on the team. And I know that Caleb Williams is under contract for 3 more years. And if Caleb Williams doesn't want to play for the Bears or wants more money, there's actions, there's a path, there are structures in place to that Caleb can hold out, the Bears can cut him, we can recoup some of the money that were promised to him, or the Bears can trade him and get some assets back. Like, there are recourses and ways where the terrible Bears football team can still have a semblance of a baseline even in player roster turnover and free agency. Oh, you know, somebody, Keenan Allen's a free agent. We don't want to re-sign him. He's off to the free agency. He can go sign with anybody he wants. Boom. Like, there is structure in the NFL that keeps fan bases invested in their team even when they are terrible. There's no structure here. And Alabama is so far from terrible. So far from terrible. I'm not even. You got people in my comments. Well, you had an awful year last year. That's why they're not excited. You hired the wrong coach. And I'm like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? 9-4 in the first year. Like, you're so far from terrible. The investment should not have fallen off that far. It's the structure. No. Oh, you are eroding the heart of the fan year by year by year. Every kid that goes in the portal looking for more money erodes the heart. Oh, erodes the loyalty. There's no reason why I should still watch the Bears. There's no reason, you know.
Joe, I'm a Giants fan. You're preaching to the choir.
Okay, same thing.
We should have given up years ago.
Why do you continually plug in with the Giants?
Because there's always hope. There, you never lose it, and then. And also, you never lose that base of players that you have. There's always a way to continue, keep things going, have some sense of, oh, this is my
franchise.
You know,
if you draft, you're at 4 this year, right?
We're at 3.
You're at 3. Yeah. You know, if you draft Travis Hunter, I don't care who you want. Who do you want? You can be the GM.
I want Abdul Carter.
If you draft Abdul Carter, bam, the Giants have drafted Abdul Carter. If he doesn't like New York, or if things go, Abdul Carter is going to be on the New York Giants for 3 to 5 years at minimum.
Yeah.
Okay. That gives me something to grip to, hey, man, and, you know, if he's not quite happy at the end of the fourth year, we can pay him a butt ton of money and keep him happy or whatever. Like, there's ways to.
And perfect example of this, you know, it broke me emotionally. Physically, last year when Saquon signs with the Eagles. But you know what? Just like that, you get a new rookie running back to go root for. And as much as, you know, the Saquon thing almost makes your fandom grow even more because it's like, oh, now I hate Philly even more. Now the fan base is even more united. And now we all want to back this rookie running back, Tyrone Tracy, so much.
Right. But you don't. Like, Saquon goes to the highest bidder, just like he would in the transfer portal, but, like, there's actual structure there.
Yes.
The Giants had how many years to renegotiate a deal? from my perspective, I don't think I know the entire story. It seems like they decided, hey, you're too expensive. We're not going to continue to renegotiate. The Giants chose to let him walk.
Yeah, it was our front office's own lunacy that allowed Saquon to go there.
Exactly.
It's not just like Saquon decided one day, you know what? I want another $4 million.
Right.
I'm transferring to the Philadelphia Eagles. No.
How could you? If I fell in love with a player on the Bears and the next month he transferred to the Packers, I would not watch that sport.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing it this weekend. I'm sorry. You're seeing it this weekend. Nico Iamaleava, I'm holding him over barrel. Did you see what Josh Pate put out over the weekend?
What did he put out?
Josh Pate says that this has been going on with Nico Iamaleava since late 2024, and homeboy was threatening not to play in the playoff game over negotiation tactics. The lack of structure is, you're going to have a college football coach end up with a heart attack. I'm sorry, but and that's really, really dark. But you're putting these coaches under so much stress every single day. Every day is renegotiation season. Hey, man, I had a good practice. You saw how good I was today. I caught 5 passes at practice. I caught 2 times. I burned your number one corner at practice. You're going to need me in the fall. Every bleeping day is renegotiation season? Are you kidding me? I would lose my mind. No one, Courtney Morgan, he got a raise. Give him another raise and another. I don't care. If for him to be dealing with I'm going to say these headaches, this headache, it's, Courtney Morgan handling this so that Kalen DeBoer doesn't have to is worth whatever money that you decide. For Kalen to be like, hey, Courtney, let me get a quick 5-minute check-in. And Courtney goes, well, player X is this, player Y is that, player Z is this. And I'm handling it, coach. All right, good luck. I would lose my brain.
I would too. I think the perfect example of this is, in which universe, if you had to bet on one Alabama player who, when he came in as a freshman in the past couple of years, you know what? There's no way in the world that this guy would ever leave. I'd say Jalen Mbakwe would have to be pretty high on that list.
Yes, I agree with you.
With everything that he represents for this program, with the podcast, with the Ryan Williams stuff. That was
Clay Chalkville, Birmingham native, state champion, 6A state champion in Alabama.
The fact that you still have to worry about a player like him entering the portal.
Ridiculous.
That sums everything up.
Look, how many snaps did that young man get last year? I don't have the exact number, but it wasn't a lot. He was the third, fourth, fifth corner or so, and getting rotational action, great. And now you're flipping sides of the ball to the wide receiver. And Jalen Mbakwe, I hope you have a great career. I want to pull for you. I want you to be successful. But I'm going to Ole Miss. I might go to Ole Miss to play wide receiver to get however $1 million that they're going to offer. And that exhausts the fan base.
Yeah.
The fan base cheers for you at a high school. Oh my God, we got 6A state champion coach Jalen Mbakwe. He was playing quarterback and cornerback in high school. He was the best player in the. Oh my, we're so excited. He and Ryan Williams are good friends. They're best friends. They were best friends in high school, and now how convenient. It's just such a Mayberry story. We're in Mayberry, and everything is great. Is this reference too old for you?
That reference is a little too old. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Oh!
I've heard of the show, don't get me wrong.
That's the Andy Griffith Show.
It's not ring a bell.
All right, there's your homework over the week. One episode of the Andy Griffith Show. It'll cost you 30 minutes, and it'll leave you with a life lesson, and you'll feel warm, fuzzy in your heart.
I'll absolutely take part in that.
Yeah, it won't be a bad. You'll think, this is super corny. But after the third 30 minutes, you'll be like, yeah, that was fine. That was good. And you'll see why it was so popular. Anyways, the town in the Andy Griffith Show was Mayberry. And I can't remember what was my connection point.
Well, you were how everything was going so well, and that's the whole how the fan base feels like, oh, Mayberry, like we're happy, we have all these friends together and guys who represent Alabama and wouldn't leave, and then all of a sudden,
yes, thank you. But then you deal with, oh, well, I might leave, and you just face, you put the ugly reality of college football right in front of these fans' faces. I will say, we spent 30 minutes on this. I'm concerned about where we are. I'm very concerned.
I have tried to downplay a lot of this stuff for a while because I really did think that people were overplaying stuff.
I thought college football was Teflon. You're going to watch college football. You're going to watch it.
This leaves some doubt, to me at least. You know, I don't know. Looking at the Nico stuff, it's fully inexcusable. I don't see any other way to put it.
So what I'm told over the weekend about Nico was that just like Tua Tagovailoa, his father's name is Galu, Tua's father. Tua's father ran the show. Mm-hmm. That's how we need to say that. Ran the show. And what I'm told over the weekend is that Nico's father runs the show. Very Samoan traditionalist. What Nico's father says goes. And Nico's father is a large part of the reason that of the shopping was the de facto shopper, and I think that it's really, really, really difficult for a Polynesian son to say, "Nah, Dad, sorry, don't do that. Don't do this." And what ends up happening is, I think that Nico's father has basically overcooked his hand, is where we are. The biggest part of that drives me nuts is you signed a groundbreaking deal out of high school. 3 years, $8 million. The first year, you redshirted. It's fine. That's a traditional freshman college football path, right? Quarterback path. You redshirted. You didn't do anything. But you still got your 2.6, 2.7, whatever that math ends up mathing. So now in your junior year, oh, you're about to smile. Okay.
No.
That's not, going, not, it's not for us. Sorry. Okay. All right. Little girlfriend sending you a message. All right. Yeah. All right. Great. But now you're in your junior year and you're already, you got your 2.5 last year as well and you were, okay. And now you're in your junior year, you're going to get your 2.5 again. And you're like, no, I actually want 4. Like, You already signed a deal that broke college football. And you want to just, I don't know. It's just really dirty. And I think that he's overcooked his hand. And I don't know where they're going to. I got a friend that's like, oh, they would not have played it this way if he didn't already have a destination. And I'm like, okay.
Let's see.
Ohio State, Oregon.
Oregon seems like, you know, the whole Ohio idea of State. Dan Lanning snitching on him, this seems, you know what, probably feasible, but I don't know. I just, the one thing I want to put out about this whole situation is Nico is not the villain here.
Father, he is.
I don't think he is.
They're all villains.
No, because it would be pretty crazy in my eyes for an athlete not to do this. Like,
you're a villain if you renegotiate in season.
There's almost no reason not to.
You are a, okay.
Look at
fine,
how many.
But you're a villain still if you do that.
Let's not forget, Tennessee is one of these schools that was right on the forefront of all this stuff. They were one of, there was them in Virginia named in the first, like one of the very first lawsuits by the NCAA. It was those Supreme Court.
You got a
rulings.
Lot of history to study. Tennessee's been doing this forever.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going back, whatever. Beyond. I'm not even leaving this decade right here.
Perfect. Keep going.
We're staying in the present because.
Yes, Tennessee, this is your fault.
Yeah. So I don't want to see the Tennessee fan base pin this down on. oh, look at these players and how greedy everything's gotten. Because yes, that is true. It's not a it's not an incorrect statement, but so much of this was caused by these schools, and you know, there's no way to ignore that. You can't ignore that this is all happening because these schools have helped create this system. So if I'm Nico,
you're a villain if you renegotiate in season.
There's no reason. There is literally
the window
no reason
to negotiate,
not to do whatever you want to get as much money as possible.
Maybe that's what needs to be redefined. Maybe that's the rules that college football actually needs to have. When can you renegotiate your contract? After you catch the 4th-and-31 gravedigger? Or should it be after the season?
Well, first of all, you allude to a good point there. The grass is not always greener. People are learning that in a very, very big way. You know, and I think eventually guys will realize how much they're shooting themselves in the foot. And I think, you know, the market will almost correct itself a little that way.
Does LeBron go to the front office every time he drops 40 and asks for another raise?
I mean, LeBron asks his front office for everything.
I'm just saying, like, but no. is that... Hey, English teacher, I got an A+ on this whatever paper. I'm going to skip. You should let me skip class next week. Like, is this how we're, I won? So I'm sorry. I caught the 4th-and-31. So I need a raise.
I don't think we've ever seen a sports league that has given its, that it's been in a position where its athletes have this much individual power ever.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's an insane way to operate a sport and to expect to continue to have a fan base with high fever. Losing the right word there, but just a rabid fan base, to expect a rabidly loyal fan base. You can't expect that though to operate this way.
Agreed.
And I have seen a rabidly loyal fan base lose their passion over 3 years. And this Saturday, it was right in front of my face. But then it was like, oh, it's not just Alabama, brother. It's everybody. The money is exhausting the fans.
And it really is, you know. Look, I've been a professional sports fan my whole life. Like, pro sports have always come.
You know that pro sports was about the money when you signed. On the outset, 8-year-old Theo Fernandez knew that Eli Manning was getting paid money.
Yeah. And, you know, when 10-year-old me woke up on the 4th of July and saw Kevin Durant as a Golden State Warrior, that was all the lesson I needed to hear, right?
Yeah, you're a Thunder guy, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah. I'm a diehard OKC fan.
You
showed me everything. Now, I've been a college sports fan my whole life, but it never fully clicked for me until coming down here to Tuscaloosa and seeing just how passionate a college sports fan base is. Well, they're getting a pretty good lesson right now on, oh, turns out if you give college pro money and you turn it into this, look what's going to happen to the fans, right? You know, this is the first time I've put out this take personally because I haven't believed it up until this point. I thought, you know what? Our fans are too passionate.
Yeah.
College fans care too much. Money is the one thing that can change that. You know, if we want to turn college football into professional sports, you have to accept that that means you have a pro sports fan base. And that is something that is very scary for the prospect of the whole sport and its future, if you ask me.
Theo, why don't you, I'm putting you on the spot, but why don't you tell our friends about Warren Tire and we'll keep going. Once you hit this last thing, have a short little pause for us and then we'll keep going.
All right, first ad read, here we go. Warren Tire and Auto Center has been a Tuscaloosa and University staple since 1961. In its third generation of family ownership, Warren Tire is your go-to place for all of your automotive needs. We got two great locations to better serve you for tires, brakes, and alignments. You can reach out to the 15th Street location at 205-759-5505. For all of other automotive needs, you can reach out to the University Boulevard location at, you ready, 205-758-2739.
We appreciate Warren Tire and Auto sponsoring the program. I know that Theo has already taken his car there three times since they've signed up with the program, and you should too. All right, what's on my list here? Okay, we've kind of danced around these things. The Masters, 8-day quarterbacks, Nico, Darian Reed, Sammy Sosa. Okay, I want to tell a Sammy Sosa story real quick and tie this in here.
Okay. I was wondering where you're going with that one.
My father, when I was young, worked his summers as a sports camp counselor, like administrator, right? For a pretty high-end sports camp. We take high schoolers, middle schoolers, and basically it was the private school that I went to's method of scouting in the summer. We invite kids from all across the country. You can come to sports camp, right? And check out our school. But we're going to play basketball, football, soccer. We're going to play all these sports over 2 weeks. And, oh, that kid's good. What's his grades like? Oh, that kid's good. What's his grades like? So my father was an administrator for this camp. And one of the things that they did, this camp was 2 weeks long, three sessions a year, so 6 weeks. And every session, spent a day in Atlanta. Morning at Six Flags, night at a Braves game. Perfect. And young Joe, golly, three days of the summer, 6 weeks apart, three times in Six Flags, three times at a Rays game in a year. Whoa,
that sounds awesome.
Like high level I am on. Yeah. I'm enjoying it. All right. So I'm in the fourth, fifth grade in 1998. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Summer Love. And I don't know anything about steroids. I don't care. I'm just these guys, Sammy with a big old smile. Their muscles are bigger than my face. And baseball is still a decent part of my life. I played young, little middle school baseball, little rec league baseball, average. Okay. So we go. I am about as much of a Cubs fan as you can be, but as a six-year-old who can't watch any base, as a whatever I was, eight-year-old who can't control the TV channels or get on the internet, right? I see the Cubs sometimes on WGN, and I see Sammy Sosa on ESPN. This sports camp always gets a block of tickets in right field. Perfect. And at that in that summer of love, it was very, very, very in vogue to do the bowing to Sammy Sosa in right field to try to get his attention. And so we're doing that throughout the entire game. And I'm literally like on the front row of right field. He is what, 15, 20 feet, whatever. They're all doing soft toss every inning. We're warming up. And so this story comes to a head right here. Late in the game, we're watching Braves Cubs, and I am just juiced out of my mind, been yelling my butt off for hours. Just want to get some sort of a, hey, guy, you know, I hear you. And he's throwing these balls every inning up into our crowd, right? If I yell loud enough, he's going to see me. So goes the eight-year-old mind, right? And maybe this is not how it played out, but the eight-year-old's perception was that sixth, seventh inning, turns, locks eyes with young child Joe. I'm throwing this ball right at you. And father's right here. Love you, Dad. And Dad did the best he could. This is not a disparaging story about him. What ends up happening as the ball is flying right at me is one of the counselors of this sports camp decided, ooh, that's a souvenir that I want more than this eight-year-old kid, and jumped, grabbed, got the ball, and is celebrating, ya-ya-ya, you know. And my dad had a bit of an argument with him, and I did not end up getting this ball. This story ends right here, Theo. I am now 35. Do you know how much baseball I have watched since that day?
Probably a ton.
No, is the point. You had a chance right there to lock in Joe as a lifelong baseball fan. Sammy Sosa threw me a baseball. This baseball is on my shelf. That baseball is not on my shelf.
I don't give a rip about baseball. I'll watch it when it's on from time to time. I know it started last month and the Cubs are doing well. I know the Braves offense is doing awful. I know the Yankees have this cool bat that people are up in arms about. What else? That's what I got for the baseball season right now. Here's the point. At that time, sure, that counselor, whatever, he did a bad thing. I'm at the end of the autograph session, or I'm at the end of the A-Day finale on Saturday, and they open it up to Yay Alabama for all these people to come in and get their autographs, and the Ryan Williams line went 10 miles long, and everybody's signing autographs, and it's great. You've paid $14, $15 that month to get in line for this autograph session. But how many kids were on the opposite side of the fence? How many kids were on the opposite side of the fence after Alabama spring game? And this all ties together. What's the goal right now for the university? The university needs money, needs loyalty, needs lifelong loyalty, needs your support. So how do we do this? How do you do it? You got to sucker these children in with a Ryan Williams handshake. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, this Ryan Williams autograph that's on my wall that I look, I've got an Eddie Jackson autograph that's on my fridge. Because he played for the Bears. When he signed it, he said, oh, I'm going to pick off Aaron Rodgers this year. I said, hell yeah, it's on my friend. And like, yeah, Eddie didn't work out. Like, the career was fine with Chicago. But now, lifelong, I bought your daggum jersey, Eddie Jackson. Your number 39, that ugly number that you wore before you changed it to number 4 in Chicago. Yes, your ugly 39 is hanging in my closet because I got that autograph session that I didn't pay for and that little touch point. So while it is a good, I think it was probably a positive to have the autograph session after the fan day or the practice. But I'm wondering, of course, we want you to sign up for Yale Alabama. We want you to sign up for Yale Alabama. And if you sign up for Yale Alabama, $14, $15, $18 a month, you can get it. You could probably got 85 signatures, all the players. You can get all the quarterbacks before they go into the portal. You can get Ryan Williams, whatever. You can get Caden Proctor before he comes a first-round draft pick. Great. But I wonder, Theo, is it more valuable to make that autograph session free? Make it open to everyone. How many more Yay Alabama subscribers do you get when little Billy Child says, well, Ryan Williams, sign this for me, Dad. I want a Ryan Williams jersey for Christmas. Ryan Williams, sign this for football for me, Dad. I want, whatever the case may be. I want to support Ryan Williams. I wonder, and this is a really like crude way to make this analogy, but think about the loyalists that we've kind of been talking about that we thought would never, ever go away. This is a really crude analogy, but here, we're making it anyways. What do drug dealers do, Theo? What do they do to grow their clientele? To say, I got to sell these drugs. Okay, you're too much of a good boy. What they do is they give it to you for free. They say, oh, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? See how it feels. They give it to you for free, and then you feel it. Oh, that was good. That was bad. Whatever the case may be, but I'm hooked. First taste is free. Oh, come get these autographs. Come shake Ryan Williams' hand for free. Come shake Kalen DeBoer's hand for free. Come get on the field, meet Keelan Russell, and let six-year-old Billy make that lifelong memory with Keelan. And let Keelan go spend 3 years dominating on the field, and that six-year-old is now a nine-year-old, and that six-year-old's been, like, I'm sorry. Give these people a little taste. I wonder if that marketing would go a lot longer way. You paid the $15 to get the autographs this weekend. And I think that session, on the surface looked good and it worked well. The lines, all the players were, in smiles. They were, it seemed like it went well. But I wonder if you'd get more people subscribing to Yay Alabama if you gave them a free touch point. if you gave, because right now, if I weren't in the media and I went to Yale, Alabama, or I went to the practice facility, or I would have gone to practice and I would have gone home. I would not have paid the $15 to get onto the field to get. But if you'd have said, Joe, it's free, and then I get on the field and I get my autograph, and the player that I get my autograph from says something, makes a connection point to me, talks about where I'm from, maybe we're from the same place. I don't know. Maybe it's a funny joke. Then I think about that. Why do I buy wrestling merchandise? Because you can tweet these guys. They tweet you right back. The accessibility, sure, you can pay for their autographs. But, like, I'm sorry. I just wonder if we are putting up too many barriers to grow new fans. And the barriers are we need money. And it's fine. I understand that. The university needs money. The bills are about to get real tight with some of these rulings. I just wonder if we're doing it the right way.
You can't put a price on fandom, Joe.
Of course.
You cannot. You know who my three favorite basketball players all time are?
Kevin Durant.
Not Kevin Durant after what he did to me, but
Russell Westbrook.
I love Lou Dort. That's just a personal. I love the way he plays basketball. My third, Darren Williams. Because when I was 8 years old and I was at a Brooklyn Nets game and I hung my jersey down into the tunnel as he was walking out with the Sharpie, he's the one who stopped, who talked to me, who signed the jersey. And he was a disappointment in almost every way, shape, and form with the Brooklyn Nets. Did not pan out as...
But hope. You didn't... Your child Theo did me not care.
Darren Williams was the coolest person in the world to eight-year-old me. And that jersey is still hanging in my room back home, and I'll bring it whenever I have a house here in Tuscaloosa next year. Because, you know, it's stuff like that that turns you into a lifelong fan. And I've done some work for people who have actually studied sports fandom. This guy, Ben Valenta, wrote a book, Fans Have More Friends. And it basically breaks down just the benefits of being a sports fan and all the stuff it does for you as basically someone going through life. And you cannot put a price on that. And then also from a university or from a program perspective, you can't put a price on creating new fans. Look at how good Major League Baseball has gotten over the past 5 years at creating young fans.
They were so bad at it for a while. They had to really work at it, and they have done a good job. Keep going.
And all of a sudden, baseball's outlook as a sport, as its future, it's great now because they've found a way to break through. They've made young people care about the sport. We're in a place where we're really really dangerous position for college athletics because look at the amount of, like,
you can't put them all behind the paywall all the time.
Yeah. You can't. First of all, how many kids got to go in Alabama, in Nebraska, in Oklahoma, everywhere? Think about how many kids their one time going to see their team play was the spring game. It is, I understand, it is expensive to take a family to an Alabama football game. You had that opportunity every year in the second weekend of April. You know, kid that's 10 years old who's been going to the spring game the past couple years, who has enjoyed it and is just getting to an age where they can fully start to appreciate football. And now instead of giving them an act, something they can follow, they're, what are we looking at? We're watching a practice. And then you're not getting the autographs after the game. You're not going to a game during the regular. What is your attachment to this team? All the players, it seems like half the players are leaving all the time. It's not like you have a roster you can follow. What is making a kid right now stay invested in the sport?
I mean, people may blast me for immaturity, but the reason why I watch sports, the reason why sports is such a prevalent part of my, is the emotion, is the feel, is the story. People, I can remember being in the press box 3 years ago with a media member, and I had muttered something, hoping the other team did something positive. And the guy was like, "What you saying, Joe? Aren't you pulling for Alabama?" And I'm like, "Brother, I'm pulling for the best story here. The best story here is the other team going for it on fourth down and making it to keep the juicy drama alive. The emotion. Yes, the connection. If you don't know these people, if you don't know these people, if you...
You know,
the reason people are pulling for Ty Simpson so hard right now is because they've seen him for 3 years just waiting his time. They feel like they know him. They've heard an interview here and there. They feel like that's the point. To keep these guys behind a paywall. Look, I understand why you do it. I understand you're trying to get them all paid, and it's really, really, really challenging to look at a budget right now, a college athletics budget right now, and figure out a way forward. I would not want to do it. Greg Byrne, I do not envy you one bit, and I do think largely you do a really daggum good job. I just want to make that clear. But I just wonder if we need to give these people a little bit of the taste. So that they come back for the buffet, so that they pay for the buffet. Why are you in Sam's Club getting the samplers? That's probably before your time too.
No, I'm very big Sam's Club fan here.
Oh, why do you go through the Sam's? Oh, this chicken's good. Well, that's on aisle 7. You know, if you want to go get it, like. I just wonder if we're going about this the right way, because Saturday scared me a bit.
Let me throw out one other perspective too, completely agreeing with your take.
Sure.
If you are, all right, not Ryan Williams, not like one of the top guys. Let's say you're.
What about Cole Adams?
Yeah, let's say you're Cole Adams. Cole Adams could have much bigger roles at a lot of other schools.
Yes.
No one's going to deny that.
I think he'd be a wide receiver one at most ACC schools.
Wow. Okay. I was thinking two, but.
He's a slot demon.
You think he's that good?
He's a demon.
No, he's a very talented football player.
He may not be your traditional wide receiver one, but he could be your first option at any ACC school, I think.
What do you think would be, you know, you're going to have Cole Adams out there signing autographs after A-Day. What do you think would be more impactful? As far as, you know, showing off to Cole Adams and to the entire team what their fan base is like, having the people who pay $15 for the autographs go and get it and get everything signed, or you just let all those kids down there and you let all these players look at all these kids who are so excited and see them play. If there is any... If there's anything about college football that hasn't been tainted by money, it's that pure fandom that still exists at some level, and you allow these athletes to see just how much fan bases care about them. Does that still mean anything? If it does, I think, you know, you have to at least display it in some way, shape, or form.
I will give some of the players credit. Not all of the, so some of them looked over the fence and signed some things that were not, you know, that you didn't come on the field. So it wasn't like soup, like we're going to cut your hand off if you jump over the, if you reach over the fence and get something signed. But it was, I don't know. I understand you want to get subscribers free Alabama, and that would be what I would want to do as well. But I wonder if the better way is to give them a little taste for free, have the good interaction with the player, and then have the kid in the car the way back. Ryan was so nice to me. Jalen and Barkwood was so nice to me. Ty Simpson was so nice to me. I want to buy their T-shirt. And just bugging mom and dad. Look at this. I want to buy their T-shirt so they can sign that T-shirt next time, Dad. I wonder if that's a better way to do it. Maybe an amendment. We can, next time we do an autograph session, kids 12 or under get on the field free.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is, like, society, you're not going to let your 12-year-old go. I would not want my 12-year-old roaming the expanse of the Bryant-Denny Stadium field without me. And then I think they would be like, well, where's your Yale Alabama membership? And it'd be like, well, I didn't buy one. I just want my little 12-year-old on the field. Well, let him go. And it's like, I don't know if I want him just roaming around by himself out there.
Joe, do you know how I spent my Friday morning? You know what me and JD, you know what me and JD went and did on Friday?
What did y'all do Friday morning?
We spent an hour and a half in line to meet Julio Jones.
Why did you do that?
Why did we do that? Because, well, first, I just did it because I had nothing going on. Sure. On JD, though. And
JD, you know, was jacked. I know he was.
That Julio Jones is one of his favorite athletes ever. And the opportunity to meet that guy and talk to him and get something signed by him and get a picture with him, that's worth a lot of time to a lot of people.
No, let me ask you, pause real quick. Did you pay anything to get whatever signed?
Did not pay a dollar.
All right. Can hold your pause real quick. This is exactly my point. Why did Julio hold a 1 hour autograph session at Julio Jones Kia for free? Come on, guys. You can think of it. You can know it. You know exactly why he did it. He did it so his salespeople could talk to you about their Kias. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yes, I think Julio's a good guy and wanted to connect with the fans. Yes, on the surface, I think it was probably pure. But why is he giving it to you for free? So that he might be able to sell one or two Kias. Like, it's you give the people a little free.
If he sold two cars out of the hundreds of people who were there, that's a win for them.
Exactly. Keep going.
You know, that's 2 hours of Julio's time, and he can turn it into that kind of thing. But with that being said, look at how much more you get out of an event like that. Because for Julio, every single one of those people now are never going to say a negative thing about Julio Jones for the rest of their lives.
And every time he does something good, they look at that photo. And how do I know this? Because every time Jalen Hurts does something good, I look at the photo of he and I at graduation. And you've seen me post it from time to time when he does something good. Every single time that he does something good, I think about that moment where, yeah, graduation was a hard moment for me. And graduating with Jalen was a motivating factor. And when he walked through the line and I said, Jalen, I wanted to work hard so I graduate in this session with you. He shook my hand and, oh man, really? Great job. And treated me like I had done something. Did I do something? Okay, whatever. But treated me like I had done something. Gave me the selfie and went on about it. Went, got in line. My tongue will get tied before I say something bad about Jalen Hurts. I'll tell you that. Like, physically tied.
Uh-huh.
I feel it. Like, I was trying to think about what I might say. Sure, he's not an amazing passer. He's a really good passer. He could be better at a passer. But, like, my tongue physically gets tied when I think about trying to say something bad about him. Because, man, that moment is just burned in my brain.
You know, and you think about all this stuff from that perspective of what can it do for the way people view an athlete. You know, think about just someone, my roommate's a Niners fan. He came along with us to the signing. Don't you think that in 30 years, when people are talking about, like, I don't know, he's just with a bunch of guys he works with and ranking all-time receivers comes up. Don't you think he's going to fight extra hard to get Julio's name higher on that? You know, it's like, all those interactions that you as an athlete, that like an athlete has with fans, it does so much for the way that people perceive you. It really does, you know, and fandom is built off of connections. Mm-hmm. People, and this ties into the exact point that we started with. You have to feel connected to the athletes on the team that you love to truly love that team. How do we get people to love the Alabama rosters with everything that's going on right
Eliminate now. The spring portal window. I don't have anything more creative than that. I don't have you cannot have negotiations in season. If I'm a coach and Billy X has a big game and comes into my office and says, I need a raise, I would say, get the bleep out of here. And if he said, well, I'm not playing this week, I'd say, fine. We've recruited good enough. We've recruited well enough. I will make your name mud in this sport if you do not play this week. Like, the second a player doesn't actually play, that name is mud. You heard Josh Pate talking about Nico maybe sitting out the playoff game. Let that guy sit out the playoff game. Just let him sit out the playoff game and see what happens to his career.
Well, nothing. Here's my take on it is nothing is going to happen to Nico's career. You know, at the end of the... All right, so look. Underperformed, arguably, last year.
I'm not arguing.
I don't think many people would, right?
Tennessee should have beat the ever loving dog mess out of Alabama last year. If he could have completed a pass downfield, that would have not even, like, it was somewhat close, if I remember right. It goes fuzzy, but it should have been a 4-score game.
That just annoyed me even more as an Alabama fan, because we, you know, we're hanging around in there when we clearly should have been out of it. But then the fact that we're still in the game makes it even worse. That's a whole new can of worms that I don't want to open.
You're good.
People are giving Tennessee all this credit, like, oh, look, the Volunteers standing up for themselves. Like, this is what we needed, some backbone from a school. First of all, we've already talked about all the stuff Tennessee has done in the past, so it's not like they're taking some huge stand. Tennessee is not the hero of the story. But secondly, you still lose the guy that you built your whole offseason around. You know, it's not a win for Tennessee here. It's not like you're prospering off this, because where do you go with QB now? That's the first thing. So it's not a thing that we're realistically going to see, where teams are willing to just say, teams aren't regularly going to say, oh, here, incredibly talented player, we'll let you walk away. No, most times teams are just going to realistically shut up and pay the guy his money.
That's a problem to me. That's what continues what we're dealing with right now.
But what other option do you, is
there? What you do? You look at Nico and you say, you signed this 3-year, $8 million deal. We already gave you 2.6, 2.7 for holding a clipboard. This money's in your bank already. And then if he wants more money and he goes in the portal, you do what you did and you let him go to the portal and you make it very public. And if these college football coaches wanted to do something about it, they leave Nico's ass in the portal. No one picks him up. They leave him in the portal because we're good. We got our quarterback. We're not going to pay you. Oh, we'll take you for $50,000 if you want on my team. I'm not paying you $4 million. You just burned your spot, buddy. You just burned your. If you want on my team, the NIL number is $25,000. This is hyperbole, but the NIL number is very low. Sorry, you're in the cold. You need me way more than I need you.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, that's not true. You know, at the end of the day, these schools need him.
Why? We already said he was an average quarterback last year.
No, because
you want to pay an average quarterback premium money?
He's not an average quarterback.
Okay, he played like an average quarterback.
Like an average quarterback.
Do you want to pay a guy who played like an average quarterback premium money?
If I'm 90% of schools, absolutely. I mean, that's the reality.
Most of those schools already have a guy.
Yeah, but when you have the chance. All right, first, let me just get this off that I fully think you should honor a contract you've signed.
Especially when it's still a good contract.
Yeah, right. Like, I think that's,
it's not unfair. We're not talking about a Scottie Pippen deal here.
Yeah, the simple thing should be to go out and play. I'm playing devil's advocate here, but the truth of the devil's advocate is that so many schools would love to have Nico be their QB, someone with that kind of potential, a guy who...
I don't think they would anymore.
Look, he is as talented... Don't forget how talented this guy is. Don't forget how good he could be. I think you're giving these schools a little too much credit almost in thinking that they would be willing to just tell a guy this talented, no, don't come play for us.
Well, what schools are we talking about? We're not talking about Ohio State, Texas, no. Oregon. We're not talking about schools with championship aspirations.
I think Oregon would bring him in, honestly.
Don't they have a guy after Dylan Gabriel?
Dante Moore, yeah.
Right. So
Moore is a question mark.
What do we pay him?
I don't know. They got him from UCLA a year ago.
And so you've already got a guy. You want to bring in him in if I've already got somebody.
Look, but
I'm talking about if I were bringing him in, I'm a school that's like Wake Forest. Do you remember with Duke? Texas quarterback transferred to Duke in between Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning.
Oh, Malik Murphy.
Malik Murphy, right. Yes.
Who was at Tulane now?
Yeah, and was a pretty highly rated recruit, transfers from Texas to Duke for an opportunity. Like, that's the kind of transfer we're talking about. Tennessee to Duke. Okay, fine.
Okay.
But you're not going to get paid a lot of money going to a Duke-like school.
Malik Murphy got $8 million or something to go to Tulane.
And Malik Murphy does not have any stains on his resume as far as off the field as being a like I'm saying, if you're Nico, you're not getting $4 million from anyone.
You think so? You don't think anyone has $4 million to give this former five-star?
At this point, after what's going on, no.
All right.
There's no way. If I'm an athletic director and my coach said I want to pay this kid $4 million, I'm drug testing my coach right then. Okay, Coach Billy, that's cool. I got these $4 million. Just pass the drug test.
A guy that talented, that young.
I don't think he
who has played in the college football playoff.
Did they play? They got their butt kicked. And by the tea leaves, it sounds like he wasn't very invested in that run.
Yeah, right. If you're threatening to not play, but that's what I'm saying at the end. My whole point is that despite everything, despite all the stuff that you can knock about Nico right now, the underperforming,
kick rocks.
How bad he lost in that game, okay, obviously OSU was good. You can say that. Someone will think differently.
Kick rocks. That's what everybody needs to tell him. Kick rocks.
Maybe they try to make an example out of him.
Division two.
That would be crazy.
FCS.
Maybe someone tries to make an example out of Nico because right now he's an easy guy to single out. I guarantee you that I do not think this is the start of a trend or anything like this.
No, it's not the start of a trend. It's been happening. Quinshon threatened to hold out of games at Ole Miss. Quinshon Judkins. Like, that's the issue here. You need to tell him the next Quinshon Judkins that tries to hold out of a game. If this happens at Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, tell the player, it's fine. You could be inactive this week. And look, you could do the PR spin. Billy was inactive because he rolled his ankle. You don't even have to say, because he's trying to hold out for more money. But, seriously, all the coaches need to say, Billy, you're holding out this week? Fine, you're inactive. And we'll have 85 players. I'm you just got to suck it up. You just got to suck it up a little bit. And maybe one week you only have 42 players because everybody else is holding out. But at some point, at some point it stops because they know if I go into coach's office and try to ask for more money and say I'm holding out, he's just going to tell me, see you next Monday, buddy.
I really like your take here, Joe, but it's a very sheltered take. It's very Alabama football take because I don't think.
Then why are you recruiting the other players?
Well, I think you have to look at the fact that, okay, at this top level, it makes sense, but then the low-level SEC schools, the ACC schools, the Big 12 schools,
well, that's not real killing football
for that talent. You know, and
fine, let them kill. And Billy, you can go play for Wake Forest and have fun with
Billy
that.
Billy can take.
Fun playing for the Demon Deacons in front of a crowd of 10,000.
He can make more money there.
Great. If that's what it's all about, then great.
That's what it is about for so many of these people. When you look at what a small percentage of these guys are going to make any substantial.
Well, maybe that's what
money.
Coach DeBoer needs to figure out going forward, because maybe that's the reason why you've gone 9-4, why you've gone 12-2, and why the little details have slipped for the last 5 years. Not under just Coach DeBoer. Saban's guilty too. The entire program over 5 years has just slipped. I'm not trying to be mean. It just is what it is.
I mean, well, that's.
So if they're all worried about money, and look, I love my money too. I'm worried about my money. I am. But I'm largely doing this show for the love of the game, baby. I'm sorry.
All right. You're doing this show for the love of the game, Joe.
And I hope to get paid a lot of money for it one day.
Someone offers you a substantial amount of money to go do this show somewhere else.
Do I still get creative control?
You get creative control.
Okay, we can talk.
You get to go do this somewhere else.
Then we can
talk. You're going to get money.
Then
we
can
talk. Right? And that's all it comes down to at the end of the day. Like, when so few of these guys are ever going to do anything more than be on an NFL practice squad. You know, because when you look at the amount of college athletes that end up on an NFL practice squad, it's actually a pretty substantial amount. There's no money attached to that.
$400K?
There's no real money attached to it.
$400K is not nothing. $500K is not nothing.
It's not is that really what it is for a practice squad?
I'm pretty sure. Hold on.
I could have sworn it was a lot lower. Maybe I mixed it up with like NBA G League or something. Let's see.
For the 24 season, a minimum weekly salary is $12,500, which ends up an 18-week season, $225 for rookies and $383 for veterans. So
okay, so that's not bad.
Almost $400K if you're a veteran, $225 for a rookie.
At the end of the day, 95% of college players will never see a practice squad. They'll never even sniff one. They'll never.
So why are we paying the hard? But if you ain't worth it, if you're not valuable enough to be on an NFL practice squad, why are we paying you $100,000?
Because that's how college sports work right now.
You got to reset the market, Theo. You got to get a grip on the market. And how do you get a grip on the market? Tell these kids no. Tell them no. You're sitting out this week, Billy.
You know, I would be fighting.
Go sit in the stands with your mama.
I'm going to be like, I would be going year by year. I would be looking for whatever offers I could. I would be trying to,
That's fine.
You're in such a unique position as a college athlete right now.
But my issue is the in-season negotiation.
You would be dumb not to take advantage of all of that.
I had a good week on Saturday. Give me more money. Like, buddy, your next Saturday is not guaranteed. Your next Saturday, you might get stuffed for 5 yards against LSU. Like, oh, I ran for 100 yards against Western Tech Carolina. Okay. Like, no NFL player, they don't negotiate it. They don't negotiate based off, no, like, this is the only comp we have, professional sports. LeBron scores 40. He doesn't go into the front office the next morning asking for a raise. What he does is he scores 40 a bunch of times, and then in the offseason, he says, hey, bud, I scored 40 a bunch of times. Next season's a couple months away. You need to adjust my contract right now. That's when you do it. I scored 40 a bunch of times. And, oh, now that I've scored 40 a bunch of times, we can adjust my contract. Isaiah Bond, you go, he drives me absolutely nuts. You get your 4th and 30. His stats that year were not that good.
They were not.
It was like 500 yards, 6 touchdowns, 40 catches, something like that. But you catch Gravedigger. That's an iconic play. You have made an iconic play in the history of probably the most iconic college football program ever. Great. You're in the lore. You have a chapter forever. And you go ask for a raise before the SEC championship game? Get out of here, dude. The season's not over. Go make another iconic play in the SEC. Like, we're about to play the Rose Bowl. What number, Isaiah, do you get if you follow Gravedigger with a decent SEC title game, a decent Rose Bowl, and a decent national championship win? Like, you stack all four of those performances together, the raise that you would have gotten, or that you did get after Gravedigger, and then you go back and ask for another raise that you didn't get, you would have gotten every raise you wanted to if you had just shut your mouth. Play your game at the end of the season. Hey, man, I got that Gravedigger play. All you got to do is go into the office and pull the laptop and be like, here's my tape. It's the week to week to week hooey that destroy. Like, cool. Transfer portal, fine. You're going to go in the winter window, find more money, no problem. But once you found your more money, once you found your new place, you're there. The spring window is abhorrent because it's very much a participation trophy because I get to make my choice in the winter window. I get to make my transfer into new school X and then go through spring practice and see that I'm still third string and I don't like that. So I'm going back in the portal again. Nobody, you made your bed in the winter window. You decided to stay at your current school or leave for new pasture. Once you've made that decision, and maybe this is a terrible perception, but to me, the season has started. The 2025 season is underway when spring practice begins. You're on the team, Billy. When the spring practice is over, whether you're first string or fifth string, you're still on the team. You go into the portal, at this point, I really have a huge problem. I just hate the spring window. I know you got to get to class. I don't want to cut you off. You can respond to any of that, but I just drives me up the wall. The in-season negotiation is a massive issue.
I've just one last real take on this. If you don't mind me asking, Joe, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
53. How old do you think I am?
I'm 27.
Oh, you do me a big favor. 35. 30. I'll be 36 this fall.
36 this fall. I am 19 years old, turning 20 in under a month.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. You know, birthday is on a Monday, so we'll be here recording actually.
Happy birthday.
We can sing then. But when I look at the college sports landscape, especially in football, and I observe everything, I see a completely broken system that's really just begging to be taken advantage of. When all of the other athletes my age see that, what do you think they're going to do? It shouldn't take a genius to figure this out.
They're going to take advantage of it.
I mean, generally speaking, I would say young males around my age have pretty similar perspectives on a lot of stuff. And if we see an opportunity to get something for free, especially when that something is a six-figure contract or a seven-figure contract, we are going to take it. That's human nature. This would be happening in any generation. I'm sorry. It would be.
The parameters of renegotiation need to be set. When can you renegotiate?
A lot of stuff needs to be set, and a lot of stuff will be set, but
we keep saying that we'll get it fixed, and it doesn't seem like we're that much closer to getting it fixed.
It doesn't, but it will. And honestly, right now,
better fix it now before you lose a whole generation of fans.
Oh, yeah. You know, for us, this is a fun time to be on a sports podcast. This is a fun time to be covering college sports regularly because, I mean, you can say whatever you want about this, but one thing is, there's always stuff to say. There is always content.
There is always content. Theo, we're going to get out of here for the day. You got to go to class. We got to have you next Monday. We'll spend a lot of the time tomorrow with Mason Woods talking about really the football we saw, the quarterbacks, the quarterback battle. Where do we think? Is it close? Is it not close? We'll talk about that with Mason tomorrow. We will talk all kinds of stuff with Mason tomorrow. Mason, I just got to give him a shout, huge shout out. I don't know if it's going to result in recruits on the show. I hope that it does. But Mason was really getting after it on Saturday, talking to several of Alabama's prominent recruits. There was probably, 15, 20 top 100 recruits in Tuscaloosa, and Mason talked to a bunch of them, 7, 8, 9, got some phone numbers, so he will at least be writing about some of the context that he made, and ideally that's going to turn into some guests on the show. So I really, really wanted to shout him out while he's not on the show, so you guys can be kind of at @MAWood_, give him a shout out. He's got a lot of content on his social media machine from the weekend where he's got some video content and stuff from some of the top recruits. You can check him out right there. We'll have Mason join us tomorrow to talk about the quarterbacks battle, what we saw, and more. Theo, you want to say goodbye to the people, leave them with any thoughts? We end the show by saying, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Yeah, I would love to leave with one thought. I do owe my roommate, Austin, a very big shout out. He recorded a video of the Jeremy Bernard pass on A-Day to Isaiah Horton. Might have been the only person to record it. He recorded it vertically. Not the best video quality, but hey, he is a pre-law student, so this is not his future career field. And that is my most liked tweet I've ever made now, because that was a very fun moment from A-Day. So very thankful that he was able to help me capture that and wanted to give him his shout out. But it was a pleasure, as always, talking college sports. Very controversial, almost, topic today. I'm glad we got through it. So that being said, this is it for the Joe Gaither Show, and we'll see you back. Well, I won't, but Joe will see you guys back from the Derek Daniels State Farm Studio tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.